The following programming is sponsored by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Positively Pro-Life, a podcast brought to you by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. Positively Pro-Life aims to bring you inspirational stories, important legislative updates, and informative interviews as we restore and strengthen a culture of life. I'm Bonnie Finnerty, Education Director at the Federation, and I am joined by my esteemed colleague, Maria Gallagher, the Legislative Director. Hello, Maria.
Hello, Bonnie. It's so good to be with you today.
Great to be with you. A few years ago, I attended Creation Music Festival right here in the heartland of Pennsylvania, where there were all sorts of different vendors and exhibits, and one of them made a huge impression on me. I had the opportunity to step into a special vehicle known as a Stork Bus. While inside, I watched a powerful video that explained the mission of an organization called Save the Storks, and I was blown away by the experience. Well, today I'm absolutely thrilled that we will be speaking with the CEO of Save the Storks, Diane Ferraro, about that organization and how these stork bands are saving lives throughout our country. They're doing amazing things, and I can't wait for you, our listeners, to hear all about it. In addition, Maria will be providing an update on the progress being made toward passing the critically important life amendment in Pennsylvania. But first, we'll kick off today's podcast with a little bit of inspiration, and this time we're taking a page out of history. Let's travel back to the 1930s and to Coney Island, New York, where much amusement was to be found: ice cream, roller coasters, maybe even a quick dip in the water to cool off. It's also where you would find a most unlikely sideshow exhibit, that of premature babies in incubators. Now, today we have highly advanced neonatal units at major hospitals that can help babies born as young as 22 weeks survive and thrive. But did you ever wonder how this came to be? Where did this technology that saves babies begin? Well, one man that we can thank for this is Martin Cooney. His contribution is tremendous. Cooney was an immigrant who came to America in the late 19th century. While he claimed to have some medical training, historians do not believe him to have been a fully trained doctor, but he did reportedly work alongside Dr. Pierre Boudin, who was considered the father of modern neonatal medicine. Boudin had developed an invention called the quote unquote child hatchery that was part of the 1896 Berlin Great Industrial Exposition. By 1903, Martin Cooney was using these child hatcheries, or first generation incubators, to keep premature babies warm and safe. In fact, he used this technology to save his own premature daughter, Hildegard. But he didn't stop there. He actually opened two incubator exhibits in Coney Island, where he took in babies for free, receiving them from hospitals all over the country. At that time, hospitals often saw such care of preemies as very cost prohibitive and not highly successful. But Cooney saw these premature babies as precious lives worth fighting for, and he gladly took their babies so that he could save their lives. At his Coney Island exhibits, nurses tended to babies as an enraptured public looked on. The premature babies attracted crowds who were mesmerized by tiny little lives being saved and nurtured through technology. People would actually buy tickets to see the babies, with the proceeds being used to help the preemies. Now, this might seem odd to us today, that people would gather to watch tiny babies in incubators. But let's remember that this was well before the science of ultrasound, and much of the prenatal development that we know today was back then still mysterious and unknown. Cooney's display did much to educate the public on the humanity of the preborn child. The exhibit remained open for decades, with Cooney's own daughter becoming a nurse who tended the babies. It is estimated that through the care he provided at his exhibit, Cooney saved 6,500 babies' lives. When he closed his exhibit in 1943, more hospitals began to employ incubators and many adopted his techniques. Today, 1 in 10 babies are born prematurely in the US, but thanks to Cooney, their chance of survival is greatly improved. And for that, I, as a mother, am especially thankful, as my own son benefited from neonatal intervention. Martin Cooney may have saved 6,500 lives on Coney Island, but his impact is far greater, as his techniques have been used to save countless more precious children. Maria.
Thank you so much, Bonnie. Legislatively, support is growing for an amendment to the Pennsylvania Constitution, ensuring no taxpayer funding of abortion, or so-called right to abortion, in the Keystone State. State Representative Donna Oberlander has introduced the constitutional amendment in the PA House of Representatives as House Bill 2252. The bill, which has more than 50 co-sponsors, follows the introduction of the constitutional amendment in the state Senate as Senate Bill 956, sponsored by State Senator Judy Ward. Senate Bill 956 has been reported out of the Senate Health and Human Services Committee. The constitutional amendment comes in light of a lawsuit filed by the abortion industry. That suit, which is now before the state Supreme Court, is demanding Medicaid-funded abortions and a fundamental right to abortion in Pennsylvania. Advocates for the life issues are hoping the Supreme Court will uphold the Commonwealth's time-tested ban on taxpayer funding of abortion. But if the High Court rules in favor of the abortion industry, the constitutional amendment becomes critical. The lawsuit is the result of the abortion lobby's failure to win passage of pro-abortion legislation in the PA House and Senate, where pro-life majorities remain in control. Unable to enact regressive pro-abortion bills through the duly elected members of the General Assembly, the abortion industry is trying to do an end run around the legislative process by appealing to the courts. It's a playbook that's being followed at state courts around the country. But taxpayer funding of abortion remains an unpopular proposition. In national poll after national poll, Americans oppose tax funding of abortion by overwhelming majorities. Tax funding of abortion is opposed by a majority of not only Republicans and independents, but Democrats as well. In order for a constitutional amendment to be enacted in Pennsylvania, it must pass both the PA House and Senate in two consecutive sessions, then be approved by voters on the statewide ballot. If you live in Pennsylvania, please contact your state representative and state senator and urge them to support the Life Amendment. You can send an immediate message to your state lawmakers by visiting paprolife.org. Bonnie.
Thank you so much, Maria. It's my pleasure to introduce our guest. Diane Ferraro has been a key member of the executive and leadership teams at Save the Storks since July 2018. She served as Director of Marketing and Chief Communications Officer prior to being named the CEO in January of 2021. Before joining Save the Storks, Diane served in various critical roles at large corporations, including overseeing marketing and communication efforts at a national retail jewelry chain based in Southern California. Diane is a lifelong pro-life advocate, largely because of her own story. She was adopted as a baby after her mother chose life for her and grew up in idyllic Orange County, California. At 26 years old, she met Edie, mom, the woman who gave her life, and suddenly had six half-brothers. Her experience as a volunteer at a pregnancy resource center in Pasadena, California, opened her eyes to the service and support provided to women by faith-based pro-life organizations as an alternative to Planned Parenthood. Her volunteer work with Olive Crest Foster Family Agency led her to foster children and adopt an at-risk teenager. Diane lives in Colorado with her husband, has two adult stepdaughters, and recently became a first-time grandmother. Diane, we are thrilled to have you with us today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Diane, what is the mission of Save the Storks?
Yes, our mission is to create a story of hope and empowerment for every woman facing an unplanned pregnancy.
So how did Save the Storks get started, and how has it grown since then?
Yes, I love this story. So the founder of Save the Storks heard about an old RV in the Bronx, New York, and heard that they were providing free ultrasounds for women, and that women were stepping on this old RV and walking off saying they chose life for their babies. So that inspired him to find a gutted Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, and he took it around the country and really gained some attention with this idea that he wanted to create a mobile medical unit that provided free ultrasounds for women. And that actually started back in 2012. So we are celebrating 10 years of life, 10 years of birthdays this year at Save the Storks.
It's remarkable. Now, describe for us what a stork bus is like.
A stork bus is a state-of-the-art mobile medical unit. So if you've seen an Amazon van, you know, dropping off packages, picture this instead as a mobile medical unit inside that has an ultrasound, a licensed nurse, really every piece of equipment you would find in the most beautiful OBGYN office, but it's in a mobile office. There's a beautiful graphic on the outside that really lets that young woman know that this is a safe place, that this is a place where she can step on and learn about that baby growing inside of her, get the facts that she needs. So what we do is we park stork buses around the country. We actually have 63 stork buses now in 26 states, with 22 more coming just this year, in the next year. And we park in front of Planned Parenthoods oftentimes, sometimes at college campuses, in front of bars and nightclubs, with the intention of lovingly showing that woman that she has an option. She has another choice besides going into that Planned Parenthood. We often partner with sidewalk advocates in many of the cities who do a beautiful job with just, again, introducing that woman who looks scared and she's walking into Planned Parenthood or maybe walking on campus. And we just invite her to see if she would like a free pregnancy test or if she knows she's already pregnant, a free ultrasound. And that's where we have that opportunity for the licensed medical professional to walk her through the stages of development for her baby. And when she hears the heartbeat, we know that 4 out of 5 times that mom will choose life for her baby.
That's beautiful. It's just like a sanctuary for young women who are just in need of help and just a warm welcome and someone to hold their hand.
Absolutely. It's interesting you said that. When I was new in this role of CEO, I was going through my morning devotion and I was reading Exodus 2, and I have a Dr. David Jeremiah study Bible, and I saw how he, you know, baby Moses was put in his little basket and, you know, to save his life. And when I was reading what the word in Hebrew was, I noticed it was translated as a vessel of divine deliverance. And that's what they also used that term for, the ark, right? That saved the lives of Noah and his family. And it just occurred to me, this is, the stork bus is a modern day vessel of divine deliverance. And we are sharing that now around the country because it's really important that churches come alongside pregnancy resource centers and other pro-life groups in their community to provide the vessel of divine deliverance, whether that's the stork bus or maybe it's just making sure women in the community know about that pregnancy resource center's brick and mortar location. We know that less than 3% of churches now have an active voice about what it means to be pro-life. And we are really working to change that this year, so more churches will step up and come alongside and let women know that they have an option, and that's to choose life.
Well, I had the chance, as I said in my intro, to enter a stork bus a few years ago. I saw how spacious and beautiful it was, so clean, really so impressive, and totally outfitted, I mean, with this technology that's needed. So I'm just curious about what it costs to outfit a stork bus, and how is that funded?
Great questions. We are so proud of our stork buses. There are other organizations that have mobile medical units, but Storks, we really have created something that is state of the art, that is the best in class, if you will. And we actually do partner with pregnancy resource centers and churches to do the fundraising. As you know, with all the supply chain issues, that's also impacted ministries like Save the Storks, who need these mobile medical units. We're competing in a weird way with Amazon, who's buying up all of the Sprinter vans. So we have an incredible team that has sourced units from around the country from different places. So we're going to have something even more incredible than what you saw there in Pennsylvania at the Creation Fest. So it costs approximately 200 about $210,000 to outfit these. Yes, they're not inexpensive, but we want that woman to know how loved she is, and we want it to be the very best mobile medical unit in America when she steps on, because when that woman, like you experienced, she goes in and she sees just all of the attention to detail. Everything is really first class. That makes that woman who maybe doesn't feel so good about herself, maybe feels that she's not capable and or strong enough to have that baby, when she steps on that bus and feels that she is special, she is unique, she is created in God's image, just as her baby is created in God's image, that will really encourage her to choose life for her baby, because we have poured and invested so much in her. We actually offer grants at Save the Stork. So we have grants that will help pregnancy centers and churches get a stork bus in their community. We also help with fundraising, but we do have we're 100% donor funded. So we do look to the kindness of donors around the country and foundations to help get these on the road. And because of that, I think what people saw during COVID, that stork buses were able to go into communities when some PRCs and some states were deemed non-essential, we were able to get the stork buses out there. And that's why I think our growth is just going through the roof right now. So we are, our biggest challenge right now is really to get the chassis ready to be built so we can customize each one based on the needs of that community that's placing the order.
Diane, why is it so important for pregnant women to get ultrasounds?
Yes. So women are told by society, by celebrities, by Planned Parenthood, that it's just a clump of cells, that there's not a human being inside of them. And as we know, there is a heartbeat. The heartbeat is there. It can be detected at as early as 4 weeks. That's why what's happening in Texas is so relevant to what's happening with our Supreme Court cases right now, because we know that that woman, once she steps on the stork bus, hears the ultrasound or sees the ultrasound, she hears the baby's heartbeat. She then understands, she makes that connection that it is a human being. And that's when she does choose life. Sadly, we know Planned Parenthood does not let the woman hear the heartbeat. And they do that intentionally because they want her to think it's a clump of cells. But again, we know that life begins at conception, and whether that young woman is, you know, has a faith, you know, coming from a place of faith, or if she's coming from a place of, well, I believe in science, the science is there. The ultrasound is the science that that woman needs. And there's no denying it, that that is a baby that's growing inside of her. So it is critical to offer these women the free ultrasounds.
Why do you think so many women change their minds about abortion after seeing an ultrasound of their baby?
That is a wonderful question. That mom can now see that there is a baby inside of her. And we had a video shared with us from a stork bus recently where the baby was actually clapping. The mom could see the baby clapping inside. And there's that emotional connection, there's that physical connection. And at that time where mom had all these fears and doubts about what she could do, I really feel that when she does see that ultrasound video, she then realizes, like, this is a baby that I'm already a mom. That's what we tell her. It's not when you're a mom. You're a mom that moment the baby, you know, is conceived. And we just encourage her to get all of the support she needs to be the best mom she can be. And in that case, you know, when she realizes it is a human being inside of her and she's the mommy of a beautiful little baby, if she's not ready to parent that child, that's when we introduce her to the adoption programs available, adoption agencies, and make sure she knows that life is about choice and choice can be choosing adoption for her baby.
So I think that's an important point, is that you're not just giving ultrasound, you're also providing resources for the next steps, right?
Absolutely. We were in Washington, D.C. last week at the March for Life. And one thing we feel really strongly about is that woman knows, you know, any objection she has, whether, well, I haven't graduated from high school, or I'm in college, or I have a career, or, you know, I'm in an abusive relationship. The pregnancy resource centers that we work with, we have a partnership program with PRCs to make sure we are letting that mom know we have an answer to any objection she might have. And we will put her in touch with whatever service provider she needs. And again, we do that and really hold her hand and walk her through each step of the way, to know that she's not alone in this, that she has a community, even if maybe her parents aren't supporting her or her boyfriend is not the best person to be with, that's where the church and the Pregnancy Resource Center and Save the Storks comes in. And we are her family at that point.
Well, your website has so many powerful stories, so many beautiful videos on there. And I'm just wondering if you could share with our listeners a specific story or two of how Save the Storks has helped a young woman choose life.
Oh my goodness. We have so many beautiful stories and it's hard to pick a favorite, but one of my favorites is a story of Rosaliani, and she lived outside of Washington, D.C. And she was actually, her baby boy. She felt that she was from Venezuela. She felt that she couldn't go back home, that it's such a horrible country to live in now, that she felt like that wasn't a safe place with her for her. She came to the United States to get a fresh start. And when she went, she actually saw a stork bus, and the nurse on the stork bus spoke Spanish, and she heard her story and heard why she was going to get an abortion. And she said, "Look, I have an attorney who can help you stay here legally. We have families in our church who can help you with shelter and food, and we can help her." One of her challenges was, "Well, I want to work, you know, I don't want to live off the government." So the church found a place for her to live. So she lived in a basement of a family, and she actually helped them as their nanny for a while she was pregnant. She ended up getting two jobs. The attorney started getting her in the process of becoming a legal U.S. citizen. And when her baby was born, she named him Emmanuel because she knew God was with her. And she invited the nurse on the stork bus and the attorney who was helping her to be the godparents. And I had the privilege of being at the little boy Emmanuel's first birthday. We took him out to dinner when we were outside D.C. and had a birthday party for them. And it is just such a beautiful picture of where she felt hopeless and felt that there was no way she could have this baby, and how the community and the church came alongside her and showed her the love of Christ. And again, that's one of my absolutely favorite stories. And I think because I had that chance to spend the first birthday with the little boy.
That is so beautiful. I mean, I'm just struck by what we can accomplish when we partner together, when you have Save the Storks, and you have churches, and you have pregnancy resource centers, and you have the community coming together. We could do wonderful things offering hope to these young women and to their children.
Absolutely. In fact, we have two books. We have a 30-day devotional that's available on YouVersion on the Bible app, and that's a free Devo that any of your listeners can download, and we invite them just to go through that 30-day Devo, and it really educates you on about what you can do as just that person, you know, in your community, and get your church, you know, you don't even have to get your church involved. There's just a lot of little things you can do to reach out to the PRC that would make a world of difference. And then last year, we worked on a book. Two of our staff writers put this together with David C. Cook as a publisher, and it's called Unplanned Grace. And it shares some of the stories that you'll see in our videos, but then it also shows meaningful action steps you can take in your community to serve these moms. And we feel like this year, more than ever, when Roe versus Wade has a really good shot at being overturned by the Supreme Court, this is the chance for people to get involved. And a lot of people have the feeling that, well, if Roe versus Wade is overturned, then no one can ever get an abortion again in the United States. But then it reverts to the states. And here in Colorado, sadly, you can get an abortion up until 9 months. And we've seen our abortion clinics here, the abortion providers, they've seen a 5-time increase in abortion since the Texas law was passed, because women now are coming over the state line to get their abortion, and Planned Parenthood, we heard, is providing what you call scholarships. So they're flying the women into Colorado to get abortions at the clinics here. So now more than ever is the chance for the church to step in and say, what can we do to help the pregnancy center? What can we do at our church to help these moms? So I just encourage your listeners to really reach out and see what they can do, because this is the year we have to step up and be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Absolutely. What do you see as the future goals for Save the Storks?
Yes. So we have some really specific strategic initiatives. One is to have a stork bus in every major city in the United States. So we're well on our way to do that. We are also partnering with pregnancy centers around the country. So when I volunteered at the one in Pasadena, California, it was wonderful. But everything was a little outdated, I'll say. You know, like women, the young women who came in maybe didn't feel like it was the place for them, because we know Planned Parenthood create a spa-like atmosphere, and we want to be more progressive, if you will. There's a pregnancy center in New York City called Avail, and they really have created, really, I would say, a template for what PRCs can look like. They're beautiful. The women walk in and they feel like they do have that spa experience. So again, it's like the stork bus. They're feeling that they're stepping into some place that truly cares about them and respects them. And our goal with pregnancy resource centers around the country is to help them with their logos, remodeling their interiors. We're providing this all for free, helping them furnish new paint, staff training. We're providing new websites for them at no cost, helping them with their advertising. So everything we need to do to reach millennials and the Generation Z women who are Googling at 2 a.m, I think I'm pregnant, and they're getting bombarded with Planned Parenthood ads. We're helping local PRCs instead have a presence in that Google search. So the first place the woman sees is their local pregnancy center. So they go there first for their pregnancy test and their ultrasound, and they hear the truth about their baby.
I have a follow-up question. What is your wish for the women you serve?
Yes, like in our mission, we want them to feel that hope and empowerment. And we want them to know that the story isn't ending with this baby and like their goal to, you know, their plan is to abort the baby. We want to know them to know this is where their story begins, that whatever may have happened in their past to lead them to this point, this is a beautiful new beginning, and we want to inspire these women to dream big. We want them to know that this baby can be a launching pad for really being that woman that God has created them to be. And we want them to not just survive, but to thrive. And so we are working on other programs. We partner with other ministries that are pro-life to make sure women have these services, have the support they need to, you know, get the college degree or get their own apartment, rebuild relationships with family. You know, whatever objection they have, we want them to dream big, because that's what God wants for them, right? And we want them to know that they have, again, a whole community of people cheering for them. And that's what Save the Storks is really doing, equipping the pregnancy centers, equipping churches to pour into these women so they don't feel like it's a burden to have a child, but it's a blessing.
Absolutely. Diane Ferraro of Save the Storks, thank you so very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been an honor. Thank you.
Positively Pro-Life is made possible through the generous support of the members of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation all across the Commonwealth. And remember, there's always a reason to choose life.